This morning I'm going to recite a verse from, which is composed by Srila Rupa Goswami. It's included in his Bhaktivasamrita Sindhu and quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It concerns the symptoms of a person who is developing bhav in this context, meaning the stage of devotional service in which one's transcendental notions are developing, actual taste for devotional service is developing, and this is the preliminary stage before Prema. Rupa Goswami in his Bhaktivasamrita Sindhu has analyzed that bhakti is performed in three stages of finding sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. So bhava bhakti is the intermediate stage, you could say, just before the awakening of prema. Now, after the passing of Srila Prabhupada, we heard a lot more than we used to in Srila Prabhupada's presence, discussion of prema, probably due to Prakriti Sahajya influence. People like to talk about prema a lot more than is suitable for their actual level of advancement. Easy to talk about, not so easy to attain, just by talking about it, one can have prema. Anyway, that is the ultimate goal, prema prayojana. But it is more practical to discuss, if we want to discuss about advanced stages of devotional service, it's more practical to discuss about the symptoms of bhava bhakti. Of course, prema bhakti is also bhava bhakti. Bhava is included. Bhava means feeling, transcendental emotion. So it's not that in prema there's no prema bhakti. You can say bhava bhakti is prema bhakti. In one's, not in the strict sense that Rupa Goswami has analyzed it, but in terms of the original meanings of the terms bhava and prema. So, what's going on over there? No. I think in prema bhakti, one of the symptoms is no cell phones, no artificial devices. You should put that in the books. Of course, cell phones have their usefulness, but it's not much appreciated during classes. Yeah, so it's practical to speak of this because praying being a hair of a gatiya prema, it's compared to the movements of a snake, which are, it's unpredictable. In Shastra, there are two creatures whose movements are quoted sometimes to describe unpredictable movements. One is a snake, it goes with a purpose, but you don't know. It's coils. One may coil, one time the coils may coil a little bit, and then more this way, that way. Another is, any guesses? Frog. Jumps a long way, short distance, zigzag. Going with a purpose, but you know, it itself jumps a little bit, then a lot. Anyway, Prema has its symptoms, but not as, from our material perspective, quantifiable or easy to analyze as bhava bhakti. So these symptoms of bhava bhakti are present in prema bhakti, certainly. So this, these symptoms are described. Kshantir avyarta kalandam iraktir mana shunyata Ashabandha. What's the next one? Ashabandha samutkantha namagane namagane sadaruji priti stadrasati stale. Then I wrote it down because I thought I'd forget it. Yeah. Ityadiyo anubhavasya anubhavasya jata bhavankure jana. So the symptoms are kshanti, Srila Prabhupada translates that generally as tolerance, avyarta kalatvam, not wasting time, proper usage of time, virakti, detachment, mana shunyata, devoid of pride or desire for honor, ashabandha, maintaining hope against hope, despite all disqualifications, the devotee maintains hope that Krishna will deliver me. Samutkanta, great eagerness to attain Krishna. Namadana Sadhavichihi, always having taste for singing the names of Krishna. And attached to describe Asaktis Tadgun Akya, attached to describing the qualities of Krishna. Priti Tadgatati Stale, a love for residing in Krishna's residential places. Yeah, so these are ityadiyo. So these are principal symptoms, there are many others. Anubhavas, symptoms of a person in whom bhav has begun to spread. So these symptoms should be present. I won't discuss all of them today, we can discuss them gradually in other days. The first one is tolerance, and this particularly means tolerance of adverse conditions. In Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami gives the example of Parikshit Maharaj, who, although he was cursed to die within 7 days, did not take it as a lamentable situation. In fact, he thought it was good, but 7 days to cursed to die in 7 days, that means you've got 7 days to live. No one has a guarantee of 7 days to live. Isn't it? It means that you're blessed to stay alive for 7 days. And also he's got notice, time to prepare for the inevitable death. Everyone is bitten by the snake of time, Kala Sarpa. That's the common expression, the snake of time. So he was literally bitten by the snake, flying snake, Taksha. So he had time to prepare. And during that time he didn't sleep or eat or drink. Because he thought, my time is very valuable. Which leads into the next one. But anyway, the point is that he had tolerance of material conditions. He went on with his devotional service. intolerant of adversity. Now we see Srila Prabhupada, who is undoubtedly a great Paramahamsa, he will sometimes become disturbed at various conditions. Does that mean he's not on the level of Bhagavad Gita? Well, actually, for his own conditions, he was very tolerant. More than once, it's described during his preaching pastimes, after taking sannyas, or after he came to the Western world, he had severe toothache. One time his mouth was all swollen up, and he had to take some extra rest, but he didn't complain, he wasn't moaning or screaming, which almost anyone else would. But on the other hand, for instance, when there was an installation of deities in Amsterdam, Srila Prabhupada arrived and saw it was a complete mess. Nothing was properly organized. And even though there was live TV coverage going all over Holland, Prabhupada became very angry right in front of all the guests and live on TV. He didn't care that TV was being, because people think that sadhus should be very peaceful under all circumstances, but Srila Prabhupada wasn't peaceful because he saw that Krishna was not being served properly. And he didn't care what the public thought. Krishna is not being served properly. He wanted to rectify that. Tolerance, the general idea that sadhus should be tolerant under all conditions, or even it may appear to be something personal. Just like, well, I can give an example from my own life. So once in America, the airline had messed up something and they weren't going to put me on the flight. And I was scheduled to go to another place, I had program scheduled. And the woman who I was speaking to, she didn't seem to be too bothered about it. I got a little sharp and I said, come on, do your job. You've got to get me on that flight. And she said, oh, shanti, shanti, namaste, namaste. As if to say, hey, come on, you're supposed to be a sadhu. You shouldn't get upset. Yeah, I'm upset. That's a misunderstanding that you just, it's a sadhu, so treat him like garbage. No, actually, it should be for the service, because the sadhus have to serve Krishna. Then they should be, just, well, we have to throw someone off the flight so we can, you don't have anything important to do. People have important things to do, like going to Disneyland and going to the beach, and what are you going to do? You're just going to sing some songs, some religious songs, useless things, so it's their misunderstanding. Now, another example, once in Mauritius, Srila Prabhupada was challenged. He was speaking to a group of very important people in Mauritius. That means, Mauritius isn't a very important place, but they brought the British High Commissioner and all kinds of people to listen to Prabhupada. And I think it was somebody, it must have been from the Indian Embassy. Someone asked, he gave the example of Arjuna after Abhimanyu was killed in the battle of Kurukshetra. And this man was critical of Arjuna and said, you see, you already heard Bhagavad Gita, and in Bhagavad Gita Krishna repeatedly speaks about how you should be, he speaks about samsa. Sukha dukhe samay kritva tatamana apamana yoho. How one should in all conditions be equipoised. So this man said, isn't it ridiculous after hearing this that Arjuna became so upset that he made a vow that if he doesn't kill Jayadratha before the sun sets tomorrow, that he'll enter fire and kill himself? Which was, Krishna told him, that's a stupid vow to him. Krishna had to work overtime to help Arjuna to fulfill that. But Srila Prabhupada explained that, well, it's natural. If your son is here, it's not that devotees, they're completely feelingless. Oh, my son got killed. Oh, okay. Well, actually that happened with Sri Rashtana. That's another example. I'll tell that afterwards. But Prabhupada said it's natural to have feelings, but his steadiness of mind was that he didn't give up his duty. He had his duty to fight for Krishna. And he didn't give that up. He predicted before the battle that it would be horrible. That wasn't very difficult to predict. He didn't want to get into it because it was a fraternal, an internecine battle. So he didn't want to get into that, but Krishna convinced him, you have to do it. That's your duty. So Abhimanyu got killed. And Arjuna was very upset, but he didn't say, okay, that's it, finished, now I'm not going to fight. He went on with his duty. Now another example, a different situation was that in the house of Sri Rashtaka, where every night Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates would have kirtan, all night kirtan. And one time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in ecstasy as usual, and he said, something strange, I'm not feeling ecstasy, there must be something wrong, there's something wrong here, what's wrong? Shivas, anything wrong in your house? No. Shiva said, how can there be anything wrong when you are here? But then it became known that Shivas's infant son, or boy, had died just during that time. Which normally you wouldn't expect if there's kirtan going on or no untoward event is expected. But anyway, his son had died. But Srivas, actually he was told this, and you would expect if that would then the kirtan would end, or they would change the mood and do some slow, pathetic kirtan. Pathetic means in the mood of pathos in this context. In a mourning mood. But Srivas, when he heard that his son had died, he rebuked the women who were crying. Just the women there in the back room. They're not all mixed up like in the modern age, men and women all dancing together. The women, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would dance and the women would be in the inner quarters, the women's quarters. So he told them, you stupid women, that's the word he used, we have Pagalini, mad women. Why are you all crying? See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you're going to disturb his kirtan. Keep quiet, otherwise I'm going to go and drown in the Ganga. Then you'll have something more to cry about. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found out, and he said, well, Srivas, why didn't you tell us? Srivas said, no, I didn't want to disturb your kirtan. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought Srivas, his son, back to life, and then he spoke some spiritual knowledge. That by the force of time, by my previous activities, I was born in this house. I was born into this family. Now the time has come to go. I'm very fortunate that in between I got the darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and now I have to go. And then again, he went wherever he was going. Well, must have gone back to Godhead, dying in the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased with Srivas that he was not disturbed. Or he may have been disturbed, but he thought that I don't want to disturb Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his ecstasy. So he said to Srivas that today you have lost one son, but you gained two, because myself and Nityananda will become your son. So that's an example of tolerance. So these are all very nice stories, people like to hear stories. This is meant for instruction also, how we are meant to. From this we should gain instruction about how we should tolerate various circumstances. go on with our service. It doesn't mean that we just accept anything, but that which is just like, for example, we come to a place that's over dirty and then, oh well, we'll tolerate it, no, we should clean it up. But if you have toothache, then well, you can go to a doctor, they can maybe do something, not much, they can maybe pull it out or whatever. Sometimes you can get a toothache in the night, it might be difficult in Dwarka to find any dentist to pull it out in the middle or whatever. So sometimes you may have to tolerate. So what can be done? But our service to Krishna should go on. Parikshit Maharaj, he is the example given in Srimad Bhagavatam of one, he had 7 days left. So, 7 days left in this. So, Adhyartha Kalata, this is not wasting time in anything inconsequential. One's time should be properly utilized. In the modern age, this is called time management. But what they call time management is how to waste time in the most efficient way. How to spoil your life bigger. How to be busy wasting your life. Every second passed without service to Krishna is just a waste of time. Ayo Hariti Vaipumsam Udyan Astam Chayana Sautta Jyate Yakshana Nita Uttama Shloka Vata. The sun is rising and setting and cutting away the lifestyle of everyone except those who utilize their time in serving Krishna. So the symptom of one in whom the feelings or mature feelings of love of Krishna become to sprout, that they don't like to waste any time. All time should be used for Krishna's service. You feel I have so much to do in Krishna's service, so I should always be busy with that. Not wasting any time. No time should be used for anything else. So this is our time management. All the time used for Krishna's service, and how much time for other things? Nothing. Sometimes people ask, how can we keep a balance between material activities and spiritual activities? What's the proper balance? So I tell them the proper balance is all spiritual activities and no material activities. That is the proper balance. Of course, we may have to do something, especially those who are living in the modern demoniac society, which is dedicated to sending everyone to hell as fast as possible. And even though this world, by the arrangement of Krishna, can be set up in a way it doesn't have to be so bad, but they're making it into hell here also. They can't wait to go to hell, so they're making this world into hell also. So all time should be utilized for serving Krishna. No time should be wasted. This is transcendental time management. This is a good point for some of you who have come here on your transcendental holidays. Those of you who are on holiday, devotees go on holiday to Dwarka, Vrindavan and all these places. So, for some of you it's a holiday. We have a festival beginning in 2 days, after 2 days. And in the meantime, you can waste your time. All you can do is it in the service of Krishna. Of course, some of you are busy making arrangements, but don't waste time. If you have time, read and chant about Krishna, study, learn shlokas, go on Harinam. That would be good. If there's a few devotees here without any particular engagement, you can just go round and round, do Harinam. Or you can do Harinam in the temple. That's good for you and good for others also. Or you can ask Radhish Prabhu, who is sitting here, do you have any service for you tonight? Although I think for the Western devotees,
they can go
on Harinam, because it's difficult for them to do any service because they can't speak the local language. So better you use your time. Go out at least have all day. So you can go out at least 2-3 hours and do kirtan. Go out means there's not much, not far to go. Not much, small place, Dwarka. But as you will see, people will appreciate very much kirtan. Actually, in most places around the world, people appreciate more and more. The more we do Harinam, the more people appreciate it. But here, definitely everyone will appreciate that. If you just go around and around, or in the temple, or whatever, chant the holy names of Krishna. And if you can get any, do you have any books with you? Gujarati books now for distribution?
It will come to you.
It will come. Well, Panchit Tattva Seva Prabhu is here. And if you give him some books, he will distribute them.
Yes, we have books.
Yes, okay. Because he went with me for 2 months to Europe and America, and he was doing all my personal service, and every day you go out on book distribution. Also, at least for some time. And, you know, like the first time we just went to Canada, I think the first place we went in North America was Canada, was it? Toronto? And just arrived there, and, you know, no jet lag, never been in Canada before, just went out with some books. And he likes to distribute books. So you can get some from the temple, and you can distribute some also. Mostly, well, local people, of course, they know Gujarati, and there are people from all over. At this time of year, there are not so many tourists from outside. Is there?
A lot of Bhagavad Kathas are going on. So Gujarati?
Mostly, but mostly Gujarati.
Yes, Gujarati.
They come. Anyway, in the summer, I think most people come from outside of it. They come from all over India, mostly in the summer, because it takes a long time to come from Tamil Nadu and Bengal. They go from Bengal, and then they go to all the places, Gaya, Varanasi, Ayodhya, and then they come over and so on. They go on a big tour like that. So it takes time. So yeah, mostly Gujarati books you'll need. You can learn 1 or 2 lines of Gujarati if you like. And yeah, you can go on Harinam. Don't waste time, that's okay. Don't waste time. Utilize your time for serving Krishna. Okay, I finish there, and other points I'll go through gradually in other classes. Any questions, please? No. All right then, Hare Krishna. Well, that was already explained. What didn't you understand about it? Why Arjuna was lamenting after the death of Abhimanyu. Do you remember what I said? How I quoted Prabhupada, didn't explain it.
Yeah, Prabhupada said that he went on with his service, but nonetheless, he didn't act in the most
favorable
way for the service
of Krishna, as you mentioned. Well, that's your opinion. Being a devotee of Krishna doesn't mean that you become like a stone. You don't care about anything. Prabhupada, why did he come to this world? Because he was concerned with the sufferings of others. What are the sufferings? People feel pain and pleasure. People feel pain. So that's not, it's not unnatural to have feeling. Feeling is in relation with Krishna. So Abhimanyu is also a devotee of Krishna. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that if Abhimanyu, I don't know proper source of it, And Abhimanyu in previous life, is there some like demon in there?
No. He was cursed. That was stated by Krishna. I believe Krishna told Subhadra afterward, that she was the mendicant, Krishna said that he was cursed to come to this world. He wasn't a demon, he was a demigod. One of the Vasus, I can't remember.
One of Moon.
But then he was abrogated to him being, he said, well, you'll only be here 16 years. So he had to go after 16 years anyway. He's going back to his position. So, and then he went in such a glorious way. It took all these Maharatis to kill him. So, for Kshatriya to die in that way is glorious. Sukhina, what is that? Sukhina Kshatriya Paratha Lamanti Yudha Nidusha. Kshatriya is a light to fight. So, death for them is, in a fight, that's considered the best way to die. For a kshatriya to die on his bed in old age is not good. He has to, if he dies in a battle, that's considered proper. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. We'll finish that.